62 Mont Belvieu, Houston. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so my favorite pick of the weekend, well, it was the Bills and then the Browns. Because if you don't have your head coach and play caller, I think we saw that, right? We saw that in the Clemson game. Clemson, they didn't have their play caller, so that there was no way that they could possibly beat Ohio State. And look what happened. And then so the same thing with the Cleveland Browns.
The Steelers gave them so many points out of the gate.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, it was, well, but and then it was a snowball.
And then the Steelers cut the game to Mike Tomlin. There was some shaky decision-making going on there, too. Not only Colts, but some with Tomlin, but Mike Tomlin has a chance to go for it on 4th-and-1, and they've got all the momentum in the world. It's a 12-point game, and the Steelers are coming back, and it's just nothing but a bunch of three and outs for the Browns, and he punts to end the game, basically. Yes, the Browns go down and score. For the first time, they could even get a first down. They score. The Steelers scored again. You think, well, wait a minute. They still have a chance. No. But the game was right there.
Yep.
The game was lost there because you really lost the momentum. You score, you get a first down, and you score again, another touchdown, and they are puckering up. For whatever reason, Mike Tomlin didn't go for two when they were down. Okay, so they scored to make it a 13. They were down 13. You should have gone for two to make it 11, right? He kicks an extra point to make it 12. 12 is still a three. Is still a two, a minimum two score game. If he had gone for two, it would have been an 11-point game, and he could have had touchdown, two-point conversion, field goal. So they screwed the math up on that one. But, man, the punting, I just couldn't believe it. And then they try to draw him off sides, and this is actually a really good point that was made by I'm trying to remember who made this point. Why, if you're trying to draw a team off sides, why in the world do you not do it with your first-team offense, your offense? Try to draw them off sides, make them think your quarterback's sneaking. Why would you do some kind of fake punt or just shift a bunch of guys on the punt team to draw them off sides? Make them actually fear that you could fake it. No one's ever faked somebody off sides with a bunch of punt shifting. Tomlin, that was
unless
that was
it's
terrible.
New Orleans with Taysom Hill on the field.
Yeah, there's no Taysom Hill.
Right, there's no Taysom Hill there. Anyway. No, there were a lot of questionable calls. The goal line by the Colts, that was just unbelievable. Then going for two, Vrabel punting when he had 4th-and-2, and I just didn't get that. You gotta go for it in this. You really have to. Unbelievable to me. Some of the decision making.
Tomlin was the anti-Frank Reich.
Yeah.
It's just, I know we've got Cleveland on the ropes and their buttholes are puckering after being up, 35 to whatever to 7.
It's
literally a 12-point game, and the Steelers have a chance to, if the Steelers score again, the Browns might completely fall apart.
What about Tennessee? It's a 17-13 game. You got the ball at the Baltimore 40.
And they punt.
And they punted.
And look at the play calling on that one was terrible.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Well, first of all, the Steelers, too. Ben is throwing the ball on 3rd-and-1 at the 2-yard line. They're at the 2-yard line. It's 3rd-and-1. He's throwing the ball. I'm like, run it 2 times. If you know you're going for it on 4th down, you run it twice.
Or get a creative run play called. Even if it's a fake dive where you hit Deontay Johnson comes around for a jet sweep over the top or do something. But, yeah, this idea that you have to throw. Ben's really becoming a problem because I'm just telling you now, Ben checked out of all these run stuff that they had. Was it last week? They got the win. Was it? It was, yeah, it was. well, no, it wasn't last week. I guess it was a couple weeks ago against the Colts. But you have to, at some point, the Steelers, like, Ben is just, Ben's not good enough to throw the ball that many times and win. He's not. Mm-mm. And the Steelers are now, they're not in any different place than the Colts are in. They're in the same place the Colts are in. Ben wants to come back. Phillip Rivers wants to come back. If you bring them back, aren't you just delaying the inevitable?
Yeah. No, no, no. Well,
I mean, you can bring them back.
But you can bring them back, but you got to draft somebody.
You have to do. You have and to, both the you Colts and the Steelers are way back in the 20s.
You have to get the replacement. I don't think there's any question. Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
I think both teams need to explore all options on the free agent slash trade market. And I mean, Stafford to Sam Darnold to Deshaun to I don't care. Whoever is out there on the market at all, you have to explore.
Yeah. No question. You just have to. That begs the question too. Is the Washington football team, they're going to be drafting later. You know, they're not drafting in the top. They made the postseason, but they're the last of the first one, right? That'll be drafting out of all the postseason teams. Do you think that they maybe stay away from it and think maybe Taylor Heineke can take over?
No chance.
No,
they know who he is.
Well,
based on one game,
yeah, but
against,
they're not getting anybody in the first round.
they're not going to draft. They're not going to stick with the 6'1" tiny quarterback who was in the XFL. That's not the answer.
Well, apparently you don't know anything about how Kurt Warner got into the league, do you? Okay, he was bagging groceries.
I tell you, don't get fooled by one Heineke game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he has not been able to put anything together, not even with the Battle Hawks.
Well,
go look at his Battle Hawk.
Did he even?
They were,
was he the starter?
Were good.
He wasn't the starter
for
the Battle
Hawks.
The Battle
Hawks were one of the better teams. Were the second best team in the league.
He backed up on the Battle Hawks.
Yeah, he did. He actually did.
What?
He wasn't their starter.
That's not great.
No. But how about, PJ Walker retweeted the XFL, said, "Hey, look at Taylor Heineke, the guy who really didn't play. Look at what he's doing." How about that? The Taylor Heineke wasn't even their number one quarterback.
Let's see what Heineke ball looks like career. 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions for his career.
Yeah. He looked great. But you know what? They're not going to be – we'll see what they do.
I'm sorry. Are you aware that Taylor Heineke threw a pass for the Texans in the Deshaun Watson season where he got hurt? Taylor Heineke was 1-for-1 for the Texans in 2017.
Well, I don't remember that pass. Well,
they let how come they could have had Taylor Heineke right now and moved Deshaun Watson, stacked up a bunch of picks, and just kept going with Taylor Heineke? Would you look to add Taylor Heineke to take over the Texans and trade Deshaun since you're doing that for Washington?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's curious.
Yeah. Why would you not think about a Taylor Heineke now coming in here and kicking some ass, huh?
The backup XFL quarterback?
Yeah. Well, I got no problem with that. Oh, Kurt Warner was bagging groceries. Who's okay? So in Hall of Famer.
Okay, now do a second one.
Huh? What are you talking about?
I know you use your Warner. Guy. Now do a second guy.
There's a lot of guys.
I know. There's so many, it shouldn't be hard to come up with another. Kurt Warner. Who else was throwing pizzas around in the air, like, get in here.
Yeah, well.
Go to a Hall of Fame.
What about the Texans guard? He was bagging groceries, too. You remember.
Chester Pitts was in college as a 19-year-old or whatever.
He was bagging groceries, and guess what
they said? Yeah, but it wasn't his.
He played college
He was
football.
Doing it to earn money while playing football.
No.
Taylor was playing football.
He was at San Diego State, I want to say. And they said, no, guys came up to him and said, hey, dude, you need to play football. He wasn't playing football.
But
Heineke was actually playing football when they discovered him.
Well, I know, but that
they discovered him as a backup in a secondary league.
That doesn't matter. You know who was the starter? And, another former Texan was a starter in St. Louis ahead of Taylor.
Who?
Jordan Tambu.
Well, that wasn't really a starter. He was in camp.
No, he was there. Yeah, yeah.
He was a Battle Hawk starter.
He was a starter for St. Louis.
Oh, St. Louis, yeah. Oh, another former Texan, you said. Yeah. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Who is now a Detroit Lion.
See?
And you the XFL that? Is where you find quarterbacks.
That is where you go to get to. Oh, PJ Walker? Oh, where's he?
It's where you go to get quarterbacks.
And look what he did this year. Crushed it.
Heineke almost got a win. I mean, kind of. No, he got a cover.
It was a pretty...
It was a big cover.
Great teams cover, Lance.
Great teams cover. The number kept going up and up in that the point spread in that game. And look what he did. He covered.
Yeah. No, he covered easily.
It's an important thing.
And do you know, if you want to know the truth, a lot of people were on Washington, too. Which is shocking. When Alex Smith is...
Alex Smith was a late downgrade. They were probably on him when Alex Smith was going to play.
Early that afternoon, Schefter came out with, he's not playing.
I don't think a lot of people jumped on Washington after that news came out. Because that's why the number went up to 10 and a half, 11. I was like, woo-wee. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, except you're playing Taylor Heineke, a guy who just who wasn't even a starter in St. Louis for the Battle Hawks. Are you kidding me? I'm shocked that many people were on Washington.
Here's Tom. Excuse me, there was an undrafted guy from California that went to Canada, that came to Houston and made the Hall of Fame, Warren Moon. So Heineke has now been compared to Warren Moon and Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with this at all.
Well, Warren Moon, it's a little different.
It's a little, yeah.
That's a little.
He was a great college quarterback.
Warren Moon wasn't bagging groceries.
No, he went to, because the NFL wasn't integrated.
The NFL wasn't integrated.
When
he might as well have been playing football in Canada is the equivalent of bagging groceries. Same thing.
Kind of. It kind of is. Well, no, the NFL was integrated when Warren Moon.
No, they hadn't integrated by the time Warren Moon
was. Yes, they had. Yes, they had.
James Harris was already, remember?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
There hadn't been integration
yet. Don't you remember James Harris?
Do you know the day today, like today is considered?
Jefferson Street Joe?
Yeah. Today's a Canadian football. This is a very nice day for football today.
It's perfect.
In Houston.
Oh, I was thinking about this morning. In Green Bay today, they'd be playing golf.
No, they wouldn't.
Oh, yes, they would. This is balmy.
In 30s?
In the winter. The first day that it hits 40 in Green Bay, they're playing golf. The first day.
This was really freaking cold outside yesterday. It was cold.
We're really, really soft.
But the wind.
You want to know how soft we are?
But the feels like was 25 yesterday.
No, it really
was. Yeah. No. On my weather check, it was 35 degrees when I left here last night. And I was thinking, man, if it gets down to 32, we can't get up that ramp. It's going to freeze because it was wet. And I looked and it wasn't going to get any lower. It was going to be 30. Today, it's going to be in the low 40s.
I drove around yesterday. 40 was
It was freezing.
It was 40.
It was
no. It's in the 30s.
It was 30s at night. I don't know what it was during the day.
It broke 40. It got in the 30s yesterday after 6 o'clock.
Not that cold.
It's cold in the 30s. Is super cold. So, why do you complain all the time about how
it's?
You're a hot weather idiot.
Are you
kidding
me? I want to move right now down to Argentina because it's too cold here. But I'm
well. Yeah, it's a little chilly now.
I'm getting through it.
It's a little chilly now.
Guess what? I had to play golf in this in Green Bay when I was in Green Bay.
What do you mean you had to play
golf? Yes, I had to because we were so sick of how flipping cold it was.
Had to play
813 golf. 813 ESPN 97.5. I'll tell you this. I almost lost. I almost had to call HR right now on myself because I almost said something ugly. But here's the deal is if you have HR needs, well, my guy's over at HR&P. It's the new year and you want a company that is going to be behind you. And in this COVID time, these COVID times have not ended. And I don't know how many cuts you've had to make for your people. I don't know if you've done it right, if you haven't done it right. And if you haven't done it right with the way that you've been able, that you've let people go, well, then you're going to have a big problem. And HR&P is there for us whenever there's any kind of issue here. They're here for us all the time. And you know what? They're going to be there for you. But here's the deal is payroll, okay, and tax time. This is a tax time now. And if you've got, if your company is going through all of this and you have tax issues, and if your Affordable Care Act is still out there, are you compliant? And if you're not, that's on you and that's on your payroll company because our payroll company experts at this and we have all the help that we could possibly need. All the taxes are basically done because these guys are so darn good. And if your payroll company isn't doing this for you, then go with ours. 281-880-6525, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Joel Blank here. How many have been watching television and said, I knew that team would win that game, or I should have bet that game? Well, shoulda, woulda, coulda guy, no more excuses. You need to get on mybookie.ag right now. That way, when you know who's going to win, you bet that game, and you can put cash in your pocket. MyBookie has all the odds on all the games, from college football, NFL, soccer, UFC, golf, NASCAR, even horse racing. Make a bet, dial up the fun, start right now. MyBookie has thousands of bets you can play, from lines on games to props inside the games. They have future bets like who's going to be in the big game in February, or bets in the present like live in-game betting, and that keeps it exciting. With MyBookie, it's simple. You bet, you win, they pay. Don't be shoulda, woulda, coulda, guy. Hop on MyBookie.ag today, promo code radio, and call your shot. They'll even double your first deposit. That's mybookie.ag, promo code radio at MyBookie. It's simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 816 ESPN 97.5.
So last night, hard, hard recommend on this one. HBO Sports, I just stumbled upon it. The Tiger Woods documentary started last night, 9 o'clock on HBO, and I missed the very end, so I started recording. It was going to run again right afterwards. You know how they'll run it back to back? So I hit record on that one. I'm recording the series. I started watching it when it came back. I couldn't go to sleep until midnight because I had recorded it. I had to watch it all. It was an hour and a half, the first episode. So much about Earl Woods, so much video of when Tiger was young, so much about how Earl, his influence over Tiger, both positive and negative. Tiger's first girlfriend is a big part of this one, and she's got home video from when they were in high school together and how Tiger was just kind of innocent. A lot about his mom, a lot about Earl being a womanizer at the end, him and this assistant club pro who was also a womanizer who felt like he really let Tiger down, letting him see that stuff whenever he was really impressionable. Nick Faldo is a big part of setting the scene of that young, you know, we get to see Tiger win amateur stuff. We get to see him through the Masters, win his first Masters. It was amazing. It was very similar to the feeling I had watching Last Dance, because you relive this Tiger stuff and you start remembering, oh my God, I forgot he had a 20 stroke lead at the US Open or whatever. And at the Masters, he sets a record for
18.
Like, watching Tiger go through all that stuff when he's young again, and watching America. Oh, a friend of Earl's, a best friend, kind of tells you what goes on behind the scenes.
Why are you telling us the whole story?
I'm just telling you, you really should watch this.
No, I'm going to.
I'm not ruining, spoiling. There's no spoiler alert for history, but you really need to see this.
There is kind of.
You really should watch this.
Yeah, I'm going to.
I'm hoping part two is on tomorrow.
I was busy. Oh, a hard recommend. Okay, the Century Tournament of Champions yesterday. Harris English beats Joaquin Neiman on the extra holes. Did you guys? It's a hard recommend for me. Did you guys watch this? Harris English dominating.
Why do you take something pure and good and nice and ruin it with Harris
English? This is your fault.
We're talking about the Michael Jordan.
If you want to go golf, let's go deep.
Yeah, why
Michael
do that?
Jordan of golf.
We could talk about Boogie being ejected for the second time in three games. We got the NFL, we got the Texans. Yeah, you bring
it
up golf.
3 minutes, though.
Yeah, golf.
It was more than 3 minutes.
Yeah,
no,
it was eight this time.
No, I'm helping you. I'm recommending
a
good
segment. Everybody, you got to play the hits, okay?
I'm recommending
Didn't we have the meeting? Play the hits.
But I'm recommending a good TV show for you, Dell.
About golf?
Yes, about Tiger Woods. Not about golf. It's about Tiger.
I don't care about that.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
What about you? What if they
are Tiger
the stuff
Woods.
He was doing with those women.
You are Tiger Woods.
Well, I got to watch him do stuff when the professionals do it on Pornhub. Why would I watch Tiger do it?
So the very last person they have sit down.
I don't want to watch an amateur do it.
Tiger, how do you know Tiger?
So this is exactly like Outcry did it too, where at the end of the episode, some girl sits down that looks like, you know, she's maybe partied in the past. She sits down and she goes, "What do y'all want me to talk about first?" And then it ends, and it's like, oh boy, I can't wait to see episode two. Oh my gosh, No, but you definitely need to see this.
He ruined the cliffhanger. You ruined the cliffhanger.
I told you Tiger won the Masters?
No, you just spoiled the whole thing about what do I spoil?
I told you they covered historical stuff. I can't spoil stuff on a documentary that you watched.
You're probably going back to watch the Century Tournament Champions. English won. Okay, how's that?
Oh, look what he did. Look what he did.
He spoiled it.
Right? I spoiled it. You're probably going to watch the replay of it.
You spoiled
it. Okay, Rockets. Boy, when they jumped out, it was 18 to nothing, I think, when the Lakers jumped out last night. 18 to 6, whatever.
Rockets were 2 of 17.
Man, dude, I'm telling you.
It was like terrible.
James has really turned a corner. James has turned an unbelievable corner that he just doesn't care anymore.
That's not, no. Steven Silas said that wasn't true.
Okay.
Well, he knows better. He better not take shots at James.
Okay, so when was the last time
Tell me James, how James did yesterday.
When was the last time James led the team in scoring?
Yesterday.
Nope. Christian Wood led the team in scoring yesterday.
Well, that can't be true.
Yes, it's true.
It's true. It's damn true.
Do you know the last time he led the team in scoring?
When?
Last year.
Not really? One single time this year?
Nope. He scored 44 in a game this year.
He scored 44 in the first game.
Oh, you mean last year. You mean
legitimately last
year. Legitimately last year. Like last year, December 26th of this year.
First game, 44. Second game, 34.
He's that guy.
He hasn't led the team in scoring right since he decided his ankle hurt.
Right. Well, January 2nd, he didn't play.
Yes,
but he's played.
Since then.
In the last four games, Christian Wood, John Wall, Wood has led the team in scoring. And James has led the team in rebounds in all four of the, in assists in all four of those games.
He's the point guard.
He's
getting people
guard.
Involved. Since he hurt, he can't explode to the rim anymore because his ankle hurts.
Oh.
So he's got to be a facilitator.
No, he can still take threes. Do you know how many? No, his 3-point shots.
Not great.
You remember when James used to take 3-pointers? Remember?
Whew. Yeah, I'm looking at them right now, his last four.
His last four, 2 for 8, 3 for 9, 1 for 5, 3 for 11.
What about James not getting to the line? He played a game where he didn't get a free throw.
0 for 0 against Orlando. Well,
now that was a blowout. Doesn't really matter.
That was a blowout.
Only 5 last night, 4 against Indiana, and then he did have 10 against Dallas.
Yeah, 10, 11, 9, 16. More James-like. More James-like.
Last year, more James-like. I'm telling you.
Is it the ankle, you think?
Or maybe you guys are right with your jokes, and James is like,
what else?
Hey.
Well, so he's averaging 7.9 free throw attempts per game. That's the lowest he's had as a Rocket ever. It's only one time it's been below double digits. 7.9 really gets to the fact that that's when James is really
his shimmer getters, bro.
Figuratively and legit and if it's figurative and it's literal, he's going hard in the paint. When he's going hard in the paint, he's going to get double digit free throws.
Is he it now? And it may be that he can't. Maybe his ankle. Maybe he can't. I don't know. We're not going to. Well, I do know that Calvin Murphy hasn't been on the broadcast since he said he quit. Right.
And that was against who? Indiana.
That was against Indiana.
And he wasn't there for
LA. He wasn't there
on
Friday or last night.
Huh.
The quit thing, I don't know if it's that he quit or maybe he's telling the organization, you see, if I don't look at us. Now, they did beat the snot out of Orlando, but Orlando's Orlando. And they're going to, you know, they were good. You know, they won some games. But Orlando's Orlando. Watch when I don't just take over. Watch when I just am just going to facilitate. Watch, unless I am the man and just dominate, watch how this organization looks.
I don't know if this is James' approach, but it just kind of backs up what I was saying before. Everyone hoping this roster would convince James to stay. James goes, let me blend into the roster and let's see how it plays out. The roster ain't good. It's not a good roster.
No.
Particularly when, I mean, he was a cheap signing, but when one of the star additions can't even stay on the floor because he likes getting thrown out of games, that's 2 out of 3, right?
Yeah.
For Boogie.
I'm so over this Boogie Cousins thing.
He just got here.
I know, but he's the same thing he is always, only not as good now. He's got a bad attitude. He always has. That's not a good energy. Well, in that
I
locker
thought he
room.
Had a good attitude in that when Morris came after him, he just walked away from it. He now and he was defending Jay Sean Tate. Listen,
yeah, no, that's fine.
The hit across LeBron's head. Okay, when they're going to protect LeBron, I get it. And it was a flagrant too. He's swatting. Whatever.
But when you already have an issue, don't compound it. Like he knows he's a target already, and he knows he already has one. Don't do it again. Be right. Careful.
No. He's Boogie, and Boogie going to Boogie. But I mean, and you know what? Listen. He's a Band-Aid. He's not even a Band-Aid. He's just a name. He's a name that they were able to bring in for on the cheap and a big because they didn't have any bigs. You know what you got with Boogie. He's not a cornerstone. He's not somebody that's going to make a difference. He's not making any difference in this team.
No.
What was a little alarming, and listen, Christian Wood can't get any rebounds when Anthony Davis and LeBron and anybody with muscles on the floor, he's not going to be able to. You know what? Christian Wood needs some help. And oh, by the way, PJ averaging like 3 shots a game?
He's just totally MIA. Yeah, he was 1 of 4 yesterday.
I mean, he's always or he takes. I mean, I want an extension. You guys, are you kidding me? I'm a vital cog in this. You're PJ.
This is why they didn't want to give him extension, because they know.
They know. Once what are James, you going to give him, a 3-year
Once James is gone, he loses a lot of value.
And James not being James right now, guess what he is?
Well, James
he stands in the corner.
James is actually dishing and dealing. You would think it would actually help PJ, but PJ's a lot like Shane Battier in that he is a great piece for a good team, but when you have an average team, he really loses his value. Because all the things he does well are great, but they don't help, you know, they're not the tumbler that opens the lock. Because he's that kind of player. Like Shane Battier, once Yao and Tracy were out, like, well, what do you need this guy for? Slapping a great, he defended. Who cares? He can't get his own shot. He can't get anything off the dribble. He's not a great rebounder. PJ's the same kind of guy. He has value on a good team. And frankly, the Rockets should. I mean, that's a guy they need to deal at some point. They need to deal PJ and get a draft
deal?
Pick for him.
What are they going to get for him?
Second
what?
Rounder. That's fine. A second round pick.
Yeah. I don't know.
Go get another Jay Sean Tate.
I don't know.
Go get a Jay Sean Tate type.
You're just going to wait until you cut. Or is there no, somebody really, might. Really?
No, PJ has value on a good team. PJ, I'm sure teams would say, well, wow, we'll give you a second round just
with
to,
an injury to somebody. But if they're a good team, PJ ain't walking in there and going to be.
Oh, PJ could step into a rotation for a lot of good teams. He could step in the rotation for a lot of good teams. PJ Tucker. And
with an
what
injury.
What are you putting in? Like, you're giving away a second rounder for a guy that can really help you in a year where you're trying to win? Absolutely. There's no financial concerns after that. Second round picks don't have a lot of value in the NBA. Oh, I could 100% see them doing that. And for me, I would just want to add as many picks as possible, just in case it means that I want to take that pick and move up, you know, from even if it's moving up 3 spots or 2 spots, we'll throw this second rounder in. You know, just add something. PJ Tucker is not going to make a difference on this team. By the middle of the year, there won't be value. I mean, the Rockets are not going to be a good team. And they won't need to hang on to P.J. Tucker. You'll be able to just move P.J. Tucker, and I think they should. I think they should at some point.
Yeah. 829 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I'm talking right now. I'm looking at our Twitch feed, and my hair is really, really looking good. I'm telling you right now. No, I'm going to say, you guys tell me this during the breaks all the time.
I don't look at you.
Hey, look how good your hair looks today.
No,
John.
I think the last time while I was in a break, we were talking about the PGA and stuff. But yes, I guess if I have to look at you, you're not as horrible as you were before.
Well, you see? Thank you, Doc Linville. That's the best compliment Dell has ever paid anyone ever. You're not as horrible as you used to be. Do you see? And that's all because of Doc Linville.
Caveat, Lance, you're still terrible.
Yeah, you're still. Yeah, well, trash ass Lance. He didn't go to Doc Linville, did he? We would be better off, right? Wouldn't all of us be better off? Even if you've got a full head of hair, you should go see Doc Linville, okay? because he's got the PRP where he can, or if you're thinning right now, he can, listen, he could take care of you if you're thinning or if you're bald. I'm telling you here and now, if you're looking for a great way, the best process in the world, and Doc Linville is really, it's unbelievable. We saw him over at the golf tournament, and he was like, man, we're killing it with the hair thing, man. It is unbelievable how many people are responding and how many people are getting this job done because it's so simple, this process. People, if you're looking for the best way to get your hair moved to the top of your head where people will actually appreciate it, it's Doc Linville. 975hair.com. You want to, you if you're sick of it, if you're tired of it and you want to get hair, 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Lamar Jackson was pretty awesome yesterday. I tell you what, after he threw that pick, it was
people
like,
are like, oh boy.
I didn't get on Twitter because you got to wait.
Just wait for the game. Wait for it to play out. Over, he was sacked 5 times, but over 300 total yards of offense when you throw in the 136 yards rushing. And that run to tie the game.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just a blur. Like, oh, the Ravens are struggling. What's going on? And then one play kind of changed the entire momentum of that game.
Oh, it did. And I thought it changed the whole game.
Yeah.
Thought it changed the whole game. You got to find Vrabel talking about punting on 4th and 2.
Yeah, I was looking. They're showing the highlight package of it. And I remember the play where Derrick Henry actually, I don't know if it was his longest run of the game, but he picked up 8 yards, and it's 2nd and 2, and they're moving the football, and he doesn't give them the ball once on that series of downs. They throw, and they throw, and then they punt. I'm like, what is Derrick Henry there for if not to get you 2 yards on 3 carries?
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable. That he punted the ball there. It was like, oh my gosh, this is a 17-13 game. You got to hold on to the ball. So what? You give him the ball at the 40-yard line or the 7. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You got to score. That is so dumb. So dumb. Anyway, so 713-780-3776, if you got any thoughts on it. Lamar Jackson did. He changed the narrative now. If he'd have lost, it would have been, you know what? It would have become more and more and more. But he was the difference in the game.
Yeah, I will credit him for, he acknowledged it before. He goes, yeah, I'm tired of this. I don't want to, this sucks not winning. It's big. I got to win. And you could tell as they ran off the field. Now, the Ravens need to cut it out. They're like, no, jumping on the logo was about unity. Stop it. No one jumps on a logo and stomps on it because it's about unity. You were trying to rub it in.
Disrespect.
It was disrespect. They said it wasn't about it. No one stomps on a logo if it's not about disrespect. But Lamar, after he had that final kneel down, he just ran off the field, and then he was welcoming the guys as they came, and then he did his interview. It was big for him. You could tell. big for that entire team. They had lost the last two times they were in the playoffs in their opening game.
And it's not even about narrative. I mean, it's what had happened up to that point. And they got down, and boy, there was a thought. I was thinking, my goodness, if Tennessee can push another touchdown in, this is really going to be tough. But, you know, the one thing that Tennessee really strived to do last year was really play inside-out football and force Lamar to the perimeter and not let him get in between the tackles to escape. He escapes in between the tackles, and that turns the whole game around. Because, I mean, he was flying. Absolutely flying. Turned it into a 50-plus yard touchdown, and the whole momentum of the game changed after that. Like, the whole momentum of the game really changed. And you can't trust Ryan Tannehill to win a game. He's a game manager. Derrick Henry had to get going, and they really sold out to stop Derrick Henry, and it worked. And there just wasn't enough firepower left. Just wasn't enough firepower for the Tennessee Titans. They just couldn't get it done. The Ravens defense showed up again, and Corey Davis going out certainly didn't help, but I don't know. Interesting game. I didn't think there were great games, but there was some interesting stuff. Now, I thought, well, the Colts game was a really good one against the Bills. I thought that was really good. I thought Ravens, that was actually an enjoyable game. So it was a Reds. The Washington football team. That was, it was an interesting storyline, much more so than I expected it to be. Heinicke doing what he did made it way more interesting than I expected. Saints and Bears, to me, the Bears are a snooze. Anything the Bears do are a snooze.
Yeah. No. That offense is just terrible. Here's Mike Vrabel. They're at the Baltimore 40-yard line, down 17-13. It's 4th-and-2, and he punts it away. Here's Vrabel on it.
Mike, the decision to punt on 4th-and-2 at the beginning of the fourth quarter, can you kind of walk us through your thought process on that?
No, just decided to punt. Thought we were playing well defensively, thought we would get a punt inside the 10 and, be able to play the field position game. Had some time there that I felt like, we could. And, we held them to a field goal. It just, we were playing against a kicker there that, kicks them from the 40. It's becomes a field position battle, and I thought that we'd get a stop and pin them inside the 10. And the way we were playing defensively, I was really proud of those guys. That obviously Lamar had a fantastic day, but I thought we were dialed in. I thought enjoyed watching those guys play defense.
That whole series of downs was a disaster. From the moment you didn't give the ball to Derrick Henry after a 2nd-and-2 until you decided to punt, the whole thing. What cost you your season?
Yeah. No.
It really did. Do you want to talk about going out meekly? How is Mike Vrabel going to feel? And Mike Vrabel has made some aggressive moves in the past. Mike Vrabel, Mike Tomlin, that's got to haunt these guys a little bit, that they pulled up so lame in the postseason at big opportunities where they really needed. And like going for it from the 40 on a 4th-and-2, that's not a crazy move.
No.
That's not a crazy
move. No, but coaches are so conservative. And especially that's a defensive coach right there. And they're so conservative and play the defensive battle and all. Our defense was playing well. It seemed like the Ravens were moving the ball on them pretty damn well. I don't know about this whole we were playing great defense at the time, because at any point that dude can kill you. And he did. He changed the game. So I don't know about that. Our defense was playing so well thing. That's for sure. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. You see the Browns dancing on the side? Doing the juju?
Yeah, Juju has had a rough couple weeks. We didn't get to the audio, but last week he just said, hey, they're just the Browns. I know guys are out, but honestly, they're the Browns. Just a bunch of great face masks.
I totally forgot about that bulletin board material. They're just kind of like gray.
Yeah.
They're just like a gray.
Gray faces, whatever he said.
Yeah. Faceless, nameless.
They're the Browns, is pretty much. Hey, they're just the Browns.
Yeah.
We beat them.
Boy, they beat their ass. Of all of the games, that was, to me, I don't know. I guess that was the most surprising thing this weekend. The Rams beating the Seahawks. Okay. Yeah. Washington playing as well as they did. Okay, the Colts staying within 3 of the Bills and actually they played pretty damn well.
They had almost 500 yards of total offense against the Bills.
With Philip Rivers' pop gun
arm. Like, the problem is they had two drives that lasted a total of 11 minutes, and they got 0 points out of those two drives.
Yeah.
Rivers' limitations really hurt them.
Well, and not only that, but give the ball to Jonathan Taylor when you're trying to go in.
I love Frank Reich as a person. And I think his mindset is great as a coach. He did some stuff yesterday that I just was granted. Some of it is I would have taken a field goal down there. For me personally, I understand you think you got to score a lot of points. That's fine. But once you don't take points, you also get in catch-up mode. You see the snowball effect of when you don't get this, then there's a momentum that swings against you, and then you start to always think, or at least we think that maybe they don't think that, but man, if you had just kicked that field goal, you could be right now up by one, or you would be tied right now. And it's a cycle. When you don't take points, and there's a lot of quarterbacks I would consider it with. Rivers isn't one of those guys, because if you're going to throw the ball, he doesn't have enough arm to tight window it. He just doesn't. He's got the weakest arm in the NFL. The fact that he can make a play, the gall that he has as a player is really pretty incredible. He has no arm. Pop gun's the right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when they had those Pro Bowl competitions, or I don't know what it was called, but the quarterbacks would all do the act, hit the moving target,
and
throw it. Can Philip Rivers and Kyle Trask have a competition to see who can throw the football the farthest?
You don't think Trask can throw it?
He's got a pop. It was the perfect description.
I'm going to take Trask in this.
Trask throw it in a game almost 60 yards.
The perfect description for Kyle Trask, how he throws the football. It wasn't my thing. Someone says he throws paper airplanes.
That's Kellen Moore.
They just float. No, just watch him.
But he also throws with great touch deep. They are float. They are soft little floaters. You just didn't like that they were raining down terror on your squad.
No, we didn't play.
Yeah.
They would have.
They didn't play.
Raining down terror.
Yeah, well, hover above.
No, not like
hell
that.
Hell below.
No, you said it.
Mm-hmm. You said it.
Hover above, rain hell below.
I didn't trigger this.
Killing them hogs real nice and slow. I'm Brett Myers going to throw that gas down around your knees, put you on your ass.
Yeah. Ah!
Rebels.
Kyle Trask had a good game against the Rebels, in fact.
Bringing down death on us. Rebels. Keep everybody in bondage.
Oh, way down south in the land of cotton. Old times there.
This is the trick. That's all you have to do. Why are you stealing Brett Myers' lyrics?
Didn't that all happen in one day?
Yeah. You started with Brett Myers. That's actually chronological order. That whole day.
Must have been.
I released you. You sung since, yeah, but maybe Steelers, you can sing something for the people today.
Somebody, Niles said, "The Steelers are the Texans of the North." I was like, "Wow, that's pretty good, actually."
That was pretty good. 843 ESPN 97.5.
Pittsburgh Steelers, we are the Texans. I can just flip that around. It's not hard.
Why don't you talk about your patio?
Texas Custom Patio. So, one of the great things about patio weather is that I've got a fire pit. Oh, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fire up the fire pit tonight. We'll sit around the fire pit a little bit, and I may let the kids do some s'mores. You typically don't do s'mores over the fire pit, but we're going to. And I'll let the kids do that. I need to go get some stuff to do that. The fire pit is something that we had added on late to our patio from Texas Custom Patios. Stephen Shaw and his company can do pretty much don't get me wrong. They've done thousands of these patios, and they've seen thousands of home designs. So there's a good chance that they already have work on a blueprint that looks very similar to yours. So what they can do is they can build it to your pre-existing structure, and they have a design already that they've already made that they can say, hey, what about this? Look at these before and after pictures. And you really get a sense of exactly what your home is going to look like. And with my friends over at Texas Custom Patios, they add value to your home with these patios, and they add tremendous quality of life to what you've got going on. Your house becomes a home. I just recommend you guys calling them and getting a free quote, having them come out there, at least going through the process with Texas Custom Patios, because you deserve to have something at your home that really brings you a lot of joy, and these patios can definitely do that. See if it makes sense for you. Take this opportunity to maybe create your best life with TexasCustomPatios.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I'm Chris with Gulf Coast Pump and Supply right here in Houston. After years of dealing with an outdated website, we were in the market for an upgrade. That's when I heard about SiteJab here on ESPN Radio. I called the guys at SiteJab, and in a matter of weeks, we had an amazing new website designed and running. If your business is looking for a new website, call the team at SiteJab. Not only will they get you the website you want, but one that produces more leads.
Call SiteJab today for a website you can count on. 713-999-4661 or sitejab.com.
This ain't your grandpa's flashlight. It's a hybrid light. Hybrid light flashlights are bright, powerful, and work on lithium-ion batteries. Plus, they have solar recharging. No more drained batteries or weak lighting. Hybrid light even has a USB port to charge mobile devices. See all their products at hybridlight.com. They're perfect for hunting, fishing, working in the garage, or around the house. Order today and get 20% off with promo code ESPN20. That's ESPN20 for 20% off, plus free shipping. Hybridlight.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here. Come on, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We haven't touched on the Texans for a little while. It is a Florio, Mike Florio came out with an article this weekend. Adam Schefter had his as well. It's everybody's piling on. Deadspin put one out there that racism is ruining the Texans is the headline. Adam Schefter says it was Schefter who said that Deshaun, after the D Hopkins trade, his anger level was at a 2. After the Casario hire, his anger level was at 10. So that's interesting. I don't know. I'm not sure where he got that. Somebody must have given him that information. I don't know who it would have been. We've already heard from Matt Eberflus. He does not want to interview with the Texans. Now Eric Bieniemy, the last one to come in, and says he wants nothing to do with the Texans' job. This is a time where the Texans, I don't know. They've had 2-win seasons. They've had Bill O'Brien with the trade, right?
This is a job that nobody's going to want. Honestly, if Deshaun Watson, except for the fact that, you know, it's funny is Mick Maynard, who is the UFC matchmaker, he lives here in Houston. He starts texting me yesterday about all this Texan stuff. And Deshaun Watson, he's really upset, but surely he can't go, right? That would be that. I said, I didn't know you. He's an Australian guy, too. I said, Mick, I didn't know you were a big Texans fan like this. He's like, yeah, I've been a season ticket holder for a while. And it was interesting talking to him because he was really, you know, and I explained, well, listen, if they were to trade him, yes, the Dolphins could be in play with Tua coming back, and it's just the pain of getting your own draft pick back. But you almost have to forget that.
Why do you think they would get their own draft pick back?
Because, Dell, you don't get...
What?
You don't get... We don't really want Tua.
No, you get...
He's a throw-in. He's like a Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Texans.
Okay, sure. You get Tua, 18, and a
few
first.
No.
Why do you assume you're going to get 3 back?
Not good enough. We want 3 back.
Deshaun has a no-trade.
But did you get your own pick back? Is just...
It hurts. You'd be fortunate to get your
3,
own pick back.
3, 18, and we want our second-rounder back,
you're
too.
You're not getting 3. Mm-hmm. Tua, 18, and a future first.
No.
That's 3 first-round picks. Sorry.
No, we don't want that.
Sorry.
That's gross. That's not nearly enough.
It doesn't
then
really
deal.
Matter.
Then you have to stick
want.
With Tua.
I'll be fine, actually. You're the one who has a quarterback who's not happy. Deshaun has a no trade.
You know what? Forget it. We'll just go to the Jets.
Okay, then. So when did they look, honestly, all of these articles coming out now, I remember after the DeAndre Hopkins trade that it was awful. I mean, every day it seemed like First Take, ESPN.
It's because there was pandemic.
The
there was nothing going
yeah,
on.
There was nothing going on.
Yeah.
It was horrible. It was horrible for the Texans at that point. I think they look worse now, though. I think this is almost worse.
Well, because the incompetence is mounted. And you fired your coach after on four. You've had all this stuff in SI, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talks, had a lot of stuff on Easterby. But now it just looks like just common sense would tell you, why would you not at least have asked for permission to interview Eric Bieniemy? Yeah, make it look good. Even if you didn't want him,
yeah.
Make it look good. I'm sure the Texans thought, we are making it look good. Look, Jim Caldwell was in here, and Marvin Lewis was in here. They were apparently set to hire a minority general manager and Omar Khan from the and of course now people get to use the whole Muslim GM. That's not, by the way, that was obviously not the case. Jack saved his own ass by going to the owner and getting the only guy in the league that would let him stay around. That's what he did.
It's really simple.
Like, none of this is very hard. They've got one guy in the building who has figured out that he can manipulate and control the owner, and he has done that. He did that to get Brian Gain out. We're told that Cal did a deep dive on Brian Gain and decided that he wasn't competent. Cal's not a deep dive guy. That was Jack Easterby's character, and that was Jack Easterby's grade. He's got a grading scale for how you do your job, and Jack basically showed him, look, wow, he falls way below a lot of these marks. Okay, well, I guess he's got to be fired. Good. Me and Bill will take over. I do think maybe the idea was to get Caserio in, but at some point the two of them said, I think Jack at some point said, you know what? This tampering thing might be a godsend. Me and Bill can run this team, and I can really get a chance to do what I've always wanted to do, which is personnel. And this isn't hard. Since that time, he has been involved with a lot of moves. When the moves don't work out behind the scenes, he tells people, man, I should have spoken up. I didn't like that at the time, that trade that Bill was going to do. I should have spoken up. And he's telling people in the Texans organization and outside that I should have.
No.
He
ain't getting away with that crap.
Right.
People that were in the room that said he was pounding his fist for these Bill O'Brien moves. He wasn't. He was quiet and mousy.
No shrinking violet. No.
He was pounding his fist
exactly. For it. So then he realized he needed to get rid of O'Brien because he was going to go down with the ship. So what he did was he cut bait with Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, right.
At 0-4, he cut bait because they could see how bad that team was. He distanced himself from Bill O'Brien, right? So now he's got a shot of not being around, and then he goes to the owner again and says, let me go get the guy so I can stay. Like, it's really been an amazing run for Jack Easterby, and it's incredibly frustrating for me to see this same guy fail up. Doesn't really make a lot of sense. Then to not even have the wherewithal to keep your quarterback happy by placating him. I'm just saying, this is the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Placate him.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even know how to play that game. Like, they have no finesse. The Texans have zero finesse.
Right.
And at some point, Deshaun has got to wake up. I know he thinks Jack is okay, and it's not Jack, and he's not. Yeah, it's the owner. And people told me, why are you telling Deshaun he's got to do this? It's not, because the owner can't. The owner does not have the capability to go up against Jack Easterby. He just doesn't.
Yep.
He doesn't have that capability. Deshaun is the only one who can save us. Deshaun is our Flash Gordon. Savior of the universe.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. You're the savior of the universe.
And Jack is Ming.
He's Ming, what?
Ming the Merciless.
Jack Easterby is kind of like a remora fish. You know those fish who attach themselves to others and kind of feed off
as a
what's
host
around them. Hmm. That's what he pretends to be.
That sounds like a parasite.
Well, I don't know. They're remora fish. You can call them a parasite if you'd like.
I didn't say that. I said what you're describing.
Remora fish is what I'm calling him. That's what he pretends to be. Hmm. But what he really is a mover and a climber.
Yeah,
he's a climber.
He would like to say, look, I'm just a guy who's here and I'm just trying to help out, and whatever happens, happens.
What did he say?
Hey, we're all in this together, guys.
Chaos is a ladder. Didn't he say that?
No, that wasn't him.
Lord Easterby. He did say that.
He did say that.
In his prayer circle of Cal.
Jack Easterby said that.
Jack Easterby didn't say chaos is a ladder. That was Littlefinger that said that.
One and the same.
What?
Oh, well.
I swear it was Jack Easterby.
That may be true.
That may be true. 855 ESPN 97.5. Let's see. Okay. Let's see if you can manipulate Gilbert into
I don't like
hiring.
That terminology, to be honest with you. I don't manipulate anyone.
Let's
I
see ask if
questions. Don't you?
I ask questions.
Don't you, Dell?
I ask questions.
Mm. I want to see if you can, who's better at manipulation, you or Easterby?
I'm already saying, no, who's more susceptible, Gilbert or Cal?
We'll find out on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Too Tall Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
When the world is your oyster,